Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? Does what you believe actually make a difference in your life? We've been talking about, for Christians, both what is success and what is our purpose. We get caught up with questions and have a tendency to not move forward until we have all those questions answered. So one of the things we need to start with is, rather than waiting till we have all the information we need, can we trust God to direct us even if we don't have all the information we think we need? We all say yes, you know, God is loving and kind, and he's leading and guiding and directing me. And yet, a lot of times we are frozen and don't make any decisions or express any desires for fear of contradicting or being out of the magical will of God. And we've talked here before about how since you're in him, you are in his will. You can't be out of his will. And he doesn't have a middle, because he doesn't have any outer edges. He doesn't have a middle of his will. We want to be in the center of his will. Well, that just implies that we're on the fringes, that there's a possibility, there's an option to be on the fringe of his will. And what we're really saying is that God has a perfect plan for us and that we screw it up. But nowhere does that, and in no way does that express God's nature. It expresses our fears and our soulical nature. But you are no longer a soulical being. If you are in him, if you have acknowledged your death and resurrection in him and shared that experience with him, you are a new creation in Christ. You're something that didn't exist before. Now, part of the problem is this leaves us with a lot less to do. You know, when you think about rest, entering into God's rest. We have a tendency to think about, okay, going on vacation, and just laying on the beach and doing nothing. Well, doing nothing and entering into his rest are two totally different things. When we enter into his rest, what is it that enters? It's our self-striving. It's our self-life. We've gone over about how our soul's desire is to control. For whatever reason. And how it is our soul's desire to have that understanding. So it can make its own mind up. And yet God says, You know, think about it. How old was Jesus when God was really teaching him about what his mission, what his project was? He had already been taught, hadn't he? Jesus had gone to his Father, learned to be taught of his Father. And his Father had been diligent and consistent and thorough in teaching and training his Son here on this earth. And odds are, Jesus was very satisfied with that. A lot of times we have pictures of Jesus being a somewhat melancholy personality. And yet we know he enjoyed his friends, and we know he enjoyed people and his family, and probably just life. He didn't spend his whole life dreading the cross. He embraced the teaching and the training and the experiences that his Father brought into his life because he embraced his Father and was embraced by him. He was satisfied and at rest and at peace with his Father. And it wasn't until he was in ministry, that he was doing what his Father was telling him to do on a day-to-day basis, that his Father started to really show him, this is what this is leading up to, the cross. You know, he may have been giving him glimpses. And sometimes he gives us glimpses. But we don't need to understand everything that God has for us in our particular future to be ready for it. We can trust him with the day-to-day arrangements that need to be made. You know, sometimes something, you know, wonderful happens in our lives, and all the pieces of a hope or a dream fall into place, and we marvel because we didn't see it all along. And you know, that's fine with God, because he doesn't want us to be motivated by what he's going to do in the future. Even so many are motivated by getting into heaven or avoiding hell or being ready for, you know, great tribulation or whatever your belief system is. God wants to be the one providing us with the motivation. You know, it's his goodness that draws us. And whatever he has for you, as you depend on him and he gives you the life and the training and the specific skill, you will be ready. And that's a big part of our job here, is at least giving that information out. We can't make you ready. That's why, you know, there's so many schools of ministry out there. There are just so many, you know, schools of the prophets and schools of ministry and seminaries and all the different opportunities to get education. And yet God has reserved that right to himself. Now, I don't care what school you've been to. I don't care what seminar you've graduated from. If you aren't being taught by God, you're not being taught. He has reserved that right to himself. It's always been this way. I love in the Old Testament where when God chose Elijah, we know that at that time there were three or four, if not a lot more, what they were referred to as schools of the prophets, where people would go to get trained to be prophets of the Lord. And God was needing someone who would speak for him and whom he could empower and send to represent him. And he visited these schools. And none of them matched up. None of them made the grade. So he went to someone who had the characteristics that he was looking for. And he trained him himself. Now he put him in positions and situations in which he could be mentored and instructed. But God reserves the right to train us himself. That's why, you know, Paul wrote, you know, some of you call yourself followers of Luke. Some of you call yourself followers of me. Some of you call yourself followers of this other person or that person. Or I belong to this church, or I went to that school. God says, let me do the training. I will equip you. I will make you ready. Now, he may send you to one of those schools. He may send you to that training. But it's so important to remember you're not being trained by that school. Your accountability, your responsibility is not to them. It's to him. He's your spiritual authority. He's your only spiritual authority. Likewise, in any job, when you show up for a job, a lot of times when you bring history and experience, a lot of times what your new employer is looking for is, are you willing to do things their way? Or do you have to be retrained? Have to undo what you've learned and retrain you? No, this is the way we do it. So in interviewing an experienced person, that's what they'll ask is, not how would you do it, but would you be willing to do it our way? And so many times when we think we're trained and ready to be used of God, he has to undo what we've learned so he can train us in the way we should go. And it's going to be different for each one of us. It's amazing how the different personalities and the different temperaments, God gets to choose on his own decision-making. He's the God. And if he wants to put someone who can't speak and who's afraid of public speaking into a position of a public speaker, that's his job. That's his right. That's his responsibility. So he doesn't always follow our preconceptions. And this is just another area where we need to be willing to let go of our beliefs, of what we've been trained, of how we have determined, God, this is who God is, this is who I am, this is how this works. And as we give him an opportunity to say, shall we say, meddle in our lives, when we give him permission, okay, God, whatever you want to do, he starts doing stuff. And if we have the idea that, you know, your feet are set on a path and moving forward, and as we move forward, this is where we're going to get to, and yet God wants to take us on a detour, we may resist that detour because we see a goal. This is what we're going to do. You know, this is the vision God has given us to, let's just say, to start a new church. And yet God puts an opportunity for a great, you know, secular job. No, I'm supposed to, you know, start this new church. God says, no, I want you to take this job. This is an opportunity for you. And we may resist. If we haven't learned how to hear his voice, how to test his voice, and aren't willing to give up our beliefs about how to get to that point of starting a new church, we are going to resist God. And you got to remember that that final purpose God has for us, he doesn't need us to accomplish anything. If we don't start that new church, that's fine with God. He doesn't need you to do that. But what he needs is you. Because his purpose, again, is for that you would be whole and entire and complete, spirit, soul, and body. If you're resisting him in that area, that's an area that is not complete and whole and entire. Some point in time, whether it's here on this earth or whatever is next, you are going to have to give up on that. He will bring you into alignment in that area. So isn't it better if we learn how to do that now? And that's the process we're in. Learning how to hear him, how to respond, and how to respond quickly. It is so much better if he teaches, if he can teach us gently, if we can hear him and respond, and even make mistakes more through quickly responding rather than resisting. It's better to turn to him. Well, you can't turn to him too often. Now, there will be times when we want confirmation, and he will give it. Because he says, I've told you, you've heard me, do it. And we're learning how to recognize when we need more information and when we don't. And again, we ask. There will be times when he'll send us out or to finish something, and we won't hear from him until that thing is finished. He gets to decide. And by comparing notes, we learn from one another. But we don't judge what God is doing in our life according to what he's doing in someone else's life. We don't compare. We don't contrast. We don't say, well, you're doing it wrong. This is the way everybody does it. This is what it says in the books. This is the way I was trained in school. It's like, no, God is new every morning. He does things new. It's new wine, new wineskin. And that doesn't mean the same old thing, just better. Doesn't mean, okay, the apostolic government that he wants to bring is, this is what it's going to look like, and this is what apostolic government means. It's like, no, he's the God. Anytime, you know, when you think about, okay, what would a one-time Messiah coming, what would that look like? It wouldn't be being born to peasants. Can we let God surprise us in our own lives, in our own future? And can we experience that rest as we allow Him to lead and guide and direct every step we take? So then what can we do now? If success for us in our purpose is knowing Him and resting in Him and letting Him lead and guide and direct us on that moment-by-moment basis, is there anything we can do? And that's where the learning comes in. Making sure that we're giving Him enough time to reveal Himself. We have two valuable assets that God is after: our time and our attention. You can give Him all the time in the world, but if you're not paying attention, I mean, we can, how many, you know, times do we go to church and yet it doesn't change us? We're not any more aware of God's presence in our lives. A lot of times that time would have been better spent at home being attentive to Him. So we've talked about this before. We'll just do a quick overview of asking the Lord how much time, or even starting with a yes or no. Lord, am I spending the correct amount of time, an appropriate amount of time with You each week, or does it need to be adjusted? And let Him answer, and then break it down. He says no. Well, He may say yes. Then you can just continue what you're doing. He may say no. Okay, Lord, is it more or less? He may say less, because He may have other things He wants you to be putting your time into. And you know what? Whatever time you're spending with Him, if it's from Him, it's enough. Someone may have all the time in the world, and God may require 6 hours a day. On the other hand, there might be a family raising kids, two or three jobs each parent, where if grocery shopping is the high priority, God may say 2 minutes in the car before you get out to face your day. That's what I want from you. Well, that 2 minutes, because it's depending on God, that 2 minutes is equal to the 6 hours. Because it's what God has asked for. That's an expression of depending on Him. So clear that up and keep that, you know, check in on that every once in a while, that you're putting in the time that God has asked for. Not too much, not more, not less than. And again, this is just another great way to be clear about God's expectations and about hearing from Him. So we are learning how to let Him live His life in and through us. He knows what He has for each one of us. He knows day to day what our issues are, what His expectations are, what we're facing each day. And in fact, He has arranged each one of those circumstances in your life. So we are not learning not only how to be attentive to what He is saying to us about His voice, the still small voice, but we are also learning to turn a deaf ear and shutting our eyes to our expectations about our lives, to shutting our eyes to what we have learned about God and how we fit into what he is doing. We figure, okay, if God is doing, has a move of God somewhere, maybe in another state, that if we want to be involved in what the new thing God is doing, we have to go visit there and pick it up. Or whatever our expectations are. And sometimes what we are understanding and what we're expecting is exactly what God wants us to be expecting and understanding. That doesn't mean it's accurate or true. It's just for right now, he's got other things he wants to talk to us about. So what God says to us and about us is the truth. And it's not necessarily going to line up with what we've learned from our pastor, our parents, or our own selves, what accommodates our temperament. So our thinking, our feeling, and our choosing all need to be reconciled and brought into alignment with the truth about who we are and who God is. And what God says is true. Just because you believe something is true doesn't make it true. Test it. Is it bringing you into dependence on God alone? Or are you depending on something else? Something maybe in addition to God. Maybe something before you go to God. Check with him first. A fact is anything someone can get you to believe. Think about that. We all think, okay, a fact is a fact. It's objective and it's reality. No, if I can get you to believe it, it's fact. So we are learning to yield our mind, our understanding to truth, reality, from a whole different perspective. We must let go of everything we think we know. And we don't need to actively do this. We don't need to go out and look for trouble. Okay, God will deal with those things that are of concern to him. There's no rush. There's no hurry. What God wants to deal with, he'll deal with. When we are willing, Lord, you just reveal your truth to me. I'm willing to change my mind on anything. That which is truth, spiritual, eternal truth, will always stand up to objective questioning. Let him pick what he wants to talk to you about. Now, if you've got questions, again, what do we do with them? We take them to him. We go, God, there's this big controversy brewing in this area. What's your truth here? And he may just say, let it ride. This is not something I want you to spend any time on. And so that's what we do. We just, okay, there's a big controversy. I'm just not going to get involved in it. I'm just not going to participate. And you just go about doing what God has for you to do. But what is from God will stand up to complete scrutiny. And so we must learn to trust the Lord to lead us into all truth more than we trust the world, the flesh, and the devil to lead us into deception. Isn't it amazing how often our biggest concern is being deceived? And yet, think about it. If God isn't big enough to keep us from deception, he doesn't seem like much of a God at all. If we need to help him, he's not really God. So think about that. We'll be picking it up here, talking about some hindrances that are hindering our purpose now. hindering us from resting and depending on God alone for truth and for our purpose and success. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back again tomorrow at 7:30. Until then, have a great day, and thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.